Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today. Unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. More and more people want the benefits of dismantling government. They're realizing that if we end the war on drugs, we're going to have less violent crime and more safety. They're realizing that if we repeal the, quote, gun-free school zone laws, school shootings like the tragedy at Newtown will never happen. We need to prevent government from damaging health the way it does with the FDA. We need to prevent the government from damaging the environment with the USDA. We need to prevent the government from ruining education with the Federal Department of Education. And that means we need to starve the beast by cutting and eliminating taxes. We need to make it impossible for the federal government to even have the money to get in the way of progress and safety and innovation and education. And to do that, we need to defund it. At LP.org, you can see how libertarian candidates are working to downsize the federal government. But we also need to do the same at the state level. We need to downsize state governments and promote individual freedom. Today's guests are going to make your life better by downsizing state governments. Later in the show, we'll talk to Joel Gardner, candidate for Texas State Representative. But first, we're going to talk to Kerry McKinnon, candidate for Texas State Senate in District 28. He plans to introduce legislation to fully legalize open carry in Texas, to opt out of Common Core, and to abolish the State Board of Education. In addition, he plans to fully legalize industrial hemp and to decriminalize marijuana, and even to introduce a migrant worker guest visa, and finally, to get the government out of marriage. Kerry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Amen. Amen.
You know, I look at this list and I just imagine how much better the world would be, how much better things would be in Texas, how much things would be better in the rest of the country, actually, if some of these things could happen. So let's just talk about some of these things. I mean, one of the things you mentioned is opting out of Common Core. How's that going to benefit people if there's no more Common Core?
Well, our teachers can actually get back to teaching. Mm-hmm. Instead of, one of the things we have in Texas right now is we spend 16 cents to get 11 cents back in funding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how anybody would think that was smart. We have 15 tests that our children take that our teachers have to test to on the elementary and junior high level that are directly linked to that funding.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some plans in place to where we want to introduce some bills to where our homeschoolers are exempt mm-hmm. from school tax as a start,
mm-hmm.
And work to hopefully making that more of a exemption.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely want to make sure that we start having some vocational programs in our schools,
mm-hmm.
And those will be done as school districts choose to do those. And it needs to be school districts at the local level that are choosing how they teach and what they teach in regards to, we have some students that will graduate going through the programs to go to higher education, and some of them that are going through to a vocational job.
That makes a lot of sense. That really makes a lot of sense because, you know, what you're saying, I think, holds a lot of water, that the people who will know the most and who will actually care the most about any student is not going to be a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. It's going to be that child's parents. I mean, who cares more about a child than his parents? Who knows more about a child than that child's parents? So I think that getting the state Board of Education out of the way getting the federal Department of Education out of the way is such an excellent step in that direction.
Well, and a lot of people may not know the Texas Constitution has that we must provide a free public school.
Mm-hmm.
But we have state colleges that still get public funding, but students have to pay a tuition to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So either you have to end the funding that goes to those colleges and redefine and change that part of the Texas Constitution where we do not provide a public school.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll make it where the schools become more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give the parents more choice. Mm-hmm. It'll raise the teachers' salaries so you know they're going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll stop dumbing down our children.
And I think that, and you know, just to go back to that, just to tie that to an actual specific, let's get down to a little specific over here. One of the pledges you have pledged is to actually sponsor legislation to abolish the State Board of Education. Is that correct?
That is correct. Our State Board of Education, if you look at some of the issues they have in there, they haven't revised a lot of their policies mm-hmm. in the past 5, 10, 15 years.
I mean, that I think is something that's true of state board boards of education all over the country. I mean, in Maryland, you know, someone like the founder of Facebook, who doesn't have a college degree, Mark Zuckerberg, or even Bill Gates before he had his honorary college degree, here's the killer, wouldn't have been allowed to teach computer science in a private school in Maryland. Like, think about that. We're not even talking about public school. Even the State Board of Education in Maryland would prevent Bill Gates from teaching your kid a computer science class. I mean, that's what could be more possibly ridiculous than that?
Well, I don't know their justification. I will say I understand why they wrote it that way, because
yeah.
they wanted to have some type of standards, but you also have to take into account the real world that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do that. Our State Board of Education and the people that we elect to our State Board and the people that choose the textbooks and go through the textbooks for Texas, and a lot of times the textbooks, because Texas buys so many, is what mm-hmm. the textbooks the rest of the nation will get,
mm-hmm.
aren't actually teachers. There,
yeah,
a lot of,
them
are just bureaucrats on there that are deciding what our teachers are going to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a constant shortfall in our budget. So obviously, our taxpayers having to pay for our education isn't working. So we need to find another way.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think what the direction we're talking about, you know, really giving parents control over their kids' education and responsibility over their kids' education is what's going to get those results. You talked about legalizing open carry in Texas. Now, how is that going to benefit the people of Texas?
Well, I think we'll be safer, for one thing.
Yeah, that's a big benefit right there.
I mean, I don't know anybody that's going to mess with somebody who has a pistol on their hip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't mean that there won't be issues and, you know, things will or will not happen. But when you're allowed to carry a black powder pistol,
mm-hmm.
a shotgun or a rifle, and everybody says, oh, well, that's intimidating, but you're allowed to do that, how can a six-shooter, a Colt 45 or a 9mm on your hip, wouldn't that be less intimidating than somebody seeing you with an assault rifle walking down the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key things is that we start to realize that if, you know, let's say there's, you know, let's say I don't have a gun, but everybody around me does. Now I know that if some person tries to attack me, I have, you know, 30 people around me that are there to defend me. You know, like 30, you know, basically decent human beings there to protect me from, you know, that one exceptional crazy assailant.
Well, of course, and if you look at it in the response time of our actual police force,
mm-hmm.
you might have, if somebody opens fire and everybody's got a gun and they know that person's there to do harm,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they're not going to get off near as many shots as they would if we had to wait on the police to show up.
Absolutely. I mean, what do they say? When seconds matter, the police are just minutes away. And, you know, that it's a pithy saying, but it has a lot of meaning. It really tells us that it is our responsibility as citizens to defend ourselves, to defend each other, to look after each other's safety. I mean, that's a really core idea, I believe, of really living as a citizen of a country as opposed to just a subject of a country.
Well, of course, because you don't expect your government, your king, to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
You're your own person, and what more could be, what anything else you could imagine that could be more liberty than that?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely. Now, we are currently talking with Kerry McKinnon. He's a candidate for Texas State Representative in District 6. He's talked about abolishing the State Board of Education, opting out of Common Core, and fully legalizing open carry in Texas to make people safer. You can learn more about him at facebook.com/K Douglas McKinnon. The last name is spelled M-C-K-E-N-N-O-N. Candidates like Kerry are working to get government out of your way, but they can't do it alone. Go to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved in campaigns in your state. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Kerry McKinnon, candidate for Texas State Representative in District 6. As we heard in the last set, one of his goals is to get the government out of education. And that means eliminating the State Board of Education. It means opting out of Common Core. He also talked about making sure that people have their right to carry a firearm, to write their right to openly carry protected. And he's going to sponsor legislation to make that happen. In this set, Kerry, let's talk about what you're going to do in terms of hemp and marijuana.
Well, we're going to introduce a bill to legalize industrial hemp. We have a drought and water issue here in Texas, and hemp being drought resistant will help us with that issue for one. Then it will, the many uses for hemp will be able to create more jobs for Texans.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the uses of hemp? I mean, what are some of the things that people can do with hemp?
Well, hemp can be, you can make biodegradable plastics.
Mm-hmm.
Clothing,
mm-hmm.
paper,
mm-hmm.
cosmetics,
mm-hmm.
I mean, rope, the list goes on and on.
I mean, that's a really powerful idea. I mean, I think that people don't realize just how much the government is currently taking away from them. I mean, right now you have a plastic, you know, thing of salad or something like that you get from a supermarket, and now you got to worry about, like, should I recycle this? Well, you don't want to throw it away. But now, essentially, there's this huge convenience that we could all be having, and some of us, you know, do have now, and people could now be producing those very goods in Texas that says that now you don't have to worry about plastic. It biodegrades.
Exactly. And Texas could be and should be leading the way.
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge farming community. I live in the Panhandle.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of dryland farmers, which means they basically plant their seed and they rely on Mother Nature to provide the rain so that it'll grow.
Mm-hmm.
Hemp would be able to do this. The plant, the other industrial plants that we could build up to deal with the manufacturing would be further jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, it's used in sort of high-end cosmetics, like high-end, you know, shampoos and things like that. I mean, it's really fascinating just how much we can do with this highly drought-resistant plant. Now, of course, you know, if we're going to talk about hemp, it seems a little bit disingenuous to not really talk about marijuana. So what do you intend to do in terms of marijuana?
We're going to introduce legislation to decriminalize marijuana, which means that anyone that, after this bill is passed and before this bill, mm-hmm. if you have been arrested, incarcerated for a nonviolent drug possession of marijuana charge, mm-hmm. you will be released. We don't believe anyone should be in a cage because of a plant.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they're not hurting somebody with it. I mean, if you take a cactus and smack somebody in the face with it, that I could see. But if you're not doing anything to anybody else, you know, whose business is it?
Well, and we lower the cost of our prison system as well.
Yeah, and that's lower taxes too. I mean, we're talking about lower taxes
and lower less people on welfare, because when a parent mm-hmm. is arrested for a marijuana charge, their children go into the system, or if there's one parent left at home, now they're there to raise that child. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that parent and that child end up in the welfare system.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking away a breadwinner when you could have a functioning family
mm-hmm.
that is a positive influence upon society, and the only reason that you think that they're not positive is because of what they choose to consume.
Mm-hmm. And so that's so powerful. I mean, we're really saying we're going from this, you know, jail, this unnecessary incarceration situation, going from sort of the government coming in and breaking up families. We're going from that, transforming that into a functioning family system. And at the same time, we're saving money. We're paying less taxes. We're becoming safer because there's no need for violence anymore for that particular type of violence.
Well, and our police force can actually concentrate on real crime.
And that's a really good point. I mean, that means, like, if you are afraid of real crime, now you have a police force that can actually deal with that because they're not being held down by stupid stuff.
Well, I mean, I would rather the cops come visit me if there was a murder happening,
mm-hmm.
and they would spend their time and money that I pay them through my
mm-hmm.
taxes.
Mm-hmm.
To take care of that crime as opposed to over here arresting 5 or 6 college students that just happen to be smoking pot.
Exactly. And that's the thing. The whole thing's a bad idea. I mean, the whole thing, locking people up is a bad idea. Destroying people's lives for no reason is a bad idea. But it's an even more ridiculous idea given that we have real crime to deal with. That's not getting dealt with.
Exactly. I mean, if you want to look at it from a conservative point of view,
mm-hmm.
you should be like, well, of course we're going to legalize it and decriminalize it because we want to spend our money wisely.
Exactly.
You know,
and it's hard to think of a more totally silly way to spend money than what we're doing right now with locking people up for what they how they choose to enjoy themselves.
And you know, we know that when we introduced this legislation for industrial hemp, decriminalization of marijuana, legal, which will also go into legalizing marijuana for recreational and medical use, we know that we're being smart enough to ask for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know we're going to have to fight to
exactly.
get any of that passed. And we don't want to start out at the bottom of those negotiations and then come back and say, well, we asked if they would let us smoke a little pot, but they said no.
Yeah.
Really? Ask for everything. You're going to get something.
And the more we get, the more we save. And the more we can get the government out of the way of just basic normal behavior, out of the way of people's unusual recreational behavior, out of the way of just industrial farming, the more we can get, that's more money for us to keep and spend as we choose to. Like, you don't like Common Core in Texas? Guess what? You get rid of some of these ridiculous laws, you're going to have more money to get the kind of education you would prefer.
Exactly. I mean,
go ahead.
You can't actually have a choice of how to have your child educated if the government is giving you the choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a choice. It's dictated to you what your child will get, and you have no choice unless you're extremely wealthy and you could afford to send your child to a private school.
One of the things, you know, just when we talk about just like, you know, helping out people at all levels of society and making sure that people are getting, you know, what they want to be, getting the kind of lifestyle that they deserve, they're working hard. One of the things you've talked about in that area is actually introducing a migrant worker guest visa. You know, how is that going to benefit the people of Texas?
Well, as a libertarian, you know, we kind of hate this whole documentation thing, but to appease a few people, when we do this migrant worker guest visa, those that are coming here to work seasonally will know where they're going, will know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be proud to be part of the system. They'll have some skin in the game. They won't have to pay any more taxes than anybody else is paying as we try to eliminate those taxes in other ways with other bills. And they'll go home, and they'll mm-hmm. come back, and they'll work again.
Mm-hmm. And that means we can save so much money on this ridiculous kind of border security, border fence thing that's going on in Texas. I mean, that's only necessary because of two things. One, because of, you know, the issue with migrant workers, and two, because of all the issues that we're creating with this war on drugs. And what you're talking about is two programs that really attack both of those.
Exactly, and I think some people have asked me, did I think that we could do this at the state level? Do I really think that we can have a migrant worker guest visa program? And I said, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. If the federal government doesn't like it, let them sue us.
Yeah.
You know, and then let them decide whether it's good or not. We can't say that we expect the federal government to, quote-unquote, secure our border, which... and then have a governor that decides it's okay for us to send the National Guard there.
Mm-hmm.
Who is, when we have budget shortfalls in tons of other areas, but let's spend the money to put boots on the ground so that people are in harm's way, and not just the people coming across the border, but also those National Guard Texans that are standing there
mm-hmm.
armed, when we could simply just have two programs that would basically eliminate the need for any of that to happen.
Exactly.
Is there going to be fraud in any system? Sure, there's going to be somebody that's trying to game the system, no matter what it is. But let's make it work for the major majority of Texans
mm-hmm.
and make it benefit us instead of be something that we're always fighting over.
And that's such a huge idea. I mean, people often forget just like how much we can gain, how much better our lives can be if we stop trying to interfere, trying to use the government to interfere. I mean, you know, one of the things that I found so interesting in a conversation recently is the idea that, you know, if we end the war on drugs and we get the private sector in the war on drugs, you know, we're going to get things to help people get off of drugs. Like we have Nicorette and all these types of things to get people off of cigarettes. You know, a lot of people who want to get off of drugs right now are afraid to because of all the laws. And you know, right now a lot of people who want to come to America to work are afraid to come to work. I mean, what kind of a system are we trying to run here?
Well, and you have to remember, we have to be careful when we do get this, when we do legalize and make marijuana available to whoever wants it. We have to make sure that we don't have a huge tax attached to it, because
Absolutely.
That will just create a black market, which will just create more crime.
Exactly.
We have
to
make sure
that new taxes.
I mean, I don't want any taxes attached to it. Okay.
Absolutely.
But for me to get it passed, I may have to say, look, we got it passed, and now nobody's going to be put in a cage, but we might have to pay the sales tax. I don't really like us approaching it as it having a sin tax, where it is 20% or 30% on top of what you're purchasing.
Yeah, I mean, the only sin that's involved is the sin of stealing money from people for with no justification.
Exactly.
And I think that's an excellent point. I'm so glad you made that point. Carrie, I really want to thank you for joining us today on the show.
Thanks for having me.
We were talking with Carrie McKinnon, candidate for state representative in District 6. He's talked about he's planning to sponsor legislation to get the government out of education, to decriminalize marijuana, legalize hemp production, to legalize open carry. I mean, there's so much good that he's going to do in Texas. So if you're in District 6, get out there and vote, join the campaign. In fact, you can follow the campaign right now at facebook.com/K Douglas McKinnon. And the last name is spelled McKennon. He's one of hundreds of libertarian candidates who are going to be on the ballot this year who are working for you to make you more free and to improve your life. You can join campaigns in your state if you go to lp.org/states. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. Thanks for tuning in. We will be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
In today's society, there is just too much competition. Women are taking on the same roles as men. They're working side by side, competing for the same positions. What is happening? This is transferring to how men and women feel about each other and relationships. We're delaying marriages or not even getting married at all. It's time to go back to basics. Listen for this groundbreaking show with host Naftali Schwartz. But it's not really that groundbreaking. It's just a new way of looking at things. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Emotional intelligence has been documented to be the most important skill for a leader to move up in an organization. Leader's Playbook will unpack what emotional intelligence is, why it is important, and how you can raise your emotional intelligence for yourself, your direct reports, and your team. Join Dr. Relly Nadler every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, to the Leader's Playbook on the Voice America Business Channel. Your success could depend on it.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. In the next few days, students are going back to school, and many will be experiencing Common Core. Now, as an educator myself who founded my own education business in 2001, I'd like to tell you this. Common Core is a bad program. In math, it teaches multiple algorithms and inefficient algorithms. What that's going to do is going to weaken your foundation. It's going to make you less good at math. Many teachers recognize these problems, especially the more experienced teachers, and they dislike it. But a few teachers claim to like it. When you hear a teacher claim to like Common Core, here's what you need to ask him or her. What other options did you choose from? Did you have 20 choices and pick it? Or was it your only choice? Was it either teach Common Core or quit your job? Or did you have a legitimate choice to make between different options where you could choose the best? Was it like choosing a restaurant where you can choose between many options? Because if the only choice you had is one choice, that is not a strong enough endorsement for a restaurant, and it is certainly not a strong enough endorsement for a child's education. My next guest knows this fact. Joel Gardner is the candidate for Texas State Representative in District 6. He plans to propose a constitutional amendment to get the state and federal government out of education, especially Common Core. He will work to nullify and eliminate gun laws, to introduce legislation to fully legalize recreational marijuana, and fight to allow the citizens of Texas the chance to vote on Texan independence. Joel, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Arvin. Appreciate you having me on the show. I did want to clarify one thing on the part about the constitutional amendment to get the state and the federal government out of the schools. You don't need a constitutional amendment in Texas to get the federal government out. That can be easily nullified and should be done immediately. You need a constitutional amendment because there is a vague reference in our Texas Constitution about education. And
okay,
so to clear up any confusion at all, I think we would need a constitutional amendment to be very clear to our state.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that distinction. I mean, and what you're saying is such a powerful idea that I've seen in so many different states that a lot of times we can really effectively nullify federal laws without even doing a whole lot, as long as we get the right people in there at the state, at the local level, sheriffs, you know, every single person. The more libertarians we get elected, the more of this ridiculous stuff that we can nullify. So let's actually talk about what specifically you would actually do. Let's talk about federal stuff first. What would you do to get the federal government out of education in Texas?
Well, that would be really simple. Just have a nullification bill that states that the federal government can't be in Texas. That's not exactly how it would be worded, but that would be the gist of it, of course. That would be very simple. You're talking about all the nullifications all over the country, and that's one thing that really irritates me about our legislators here in Texas. I follow the 10th Amendment Center, and I see all the things that are nullified all over the country, and there's literally hundreds of nullification laws, including Colorado and Washington's nullification of the marijuana policy. But the one word I've never seen on their page is the word Texas, because we have zero, and that's got to change.
And I'm so excited that, you know, we have people like you, people like Carrie, that are really that are serious about. I mean, let's just like put this out there. Let's make sure that the listeners understand this. This is, you would specifically sponsor legislation to get the federal government out of education, to nullify its presence in Texas in this particular area.
Absolutely, and the state too. The state's done a lot of damage to our school system too. People in Texas would remember last year they had said, during the session, they had eliminated Common Core, but what they really did was renamed it. And not only that, there was House Bill 2103 that passed, and my opponent, Matt Schaefer, actually voted for this too, that allows for the data mining of our kids by the federal government. Now, of course, it doesn't say it's by the federal government. It says it's for independent sources to collect all their data, but every independent source that they've approved works for the federal government.
And see, that's exactly the kind of stuff we need to get rid of. And I think that, you know, people like you are the people that are going to get rid of it, especially in Texas and hopefully throughout the rest of the country. Now, just again, you know, I just want to be crystal clear on this, and you will be working to sponsor this and to support a constitutional amendment to get the Texas state government out of the way of education in Texas.
Absolutely. And it sounds like a hard thing to get a constitutional amendment passed. That sounds like a big deal because on a national level it is, but in Texas it really isn't. In Texas we had six constitutional amendments passed, or no, it was more than that. It was like eight constitutional amendments passed this last November.
Okay.
And I follow this stuff pretty closely, and I only remember what one of them is.
Okay.
Rick Perry's water scam.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is something that's feasible, that's doable, and is something that you know, if we get, you know, proponents like you behind it, is something that's actually going to happen. And actually, there's a second benefit, because right now there's nobody that's really sponsoring this kind of clear legislation. So there's no way for us to separate those who are currently holding office, the ones who are kind of the supporters of the Common Core versus those who would nullify it. I mean, I guess they haven't really done anything. So right now they're all kind of, you can say they're all supporters of Common Core. But if you get that bill on the floor, even if it doesn't get passed, I mean, of course we want it to get passed, but even if it's just on the floor, we can now say this person voted against it. That means this person supports Common Core. So in a few years, when kids who are going through Common Core have huge issues in math, we can say, yeah, it's these people who voted for it, vote them out now.
Exactly, and also the fact that you can expose the people who absolutely support Common Core and do everything you can to expose them to everybody and get them out of office so they're not there next time. That would be a hard thing to be against if you're voting to come out and say, or to come out in support of Common Core. That blatantly would expose you in a big way, and I don't think most people would do it. I think getting it out there, you would almost have to pass it.
And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there are a few, right now I think Common Core is actually not very well understood, so people have just a general distaste of it. And I think in not before too long, when people really see what Common Core is, they're going to have more than just a slight distaste for it. It's going to be an outright, absolute hatred. I think we're going to see a lot of people switching to homeschooling or private schooling or any other option, because this is such a bad program. You would need something like the federal government to even be able to come up with something this incompetent.
Exactly.
You know, you talk about, one of the things you've talked about is legalizing recreational marijuana, not just medical marijuana, but actually recreational marijuana. What exact proposal are you? What would you actually sponsor legislation to do in terms of that?
Something similar to what Colorado and Washington State did.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably follow, you know, pretty much the same legislation. I think there's a lot of support for that now. There's certainly support for medical marijuana. There's really more than half the people in Texas support legalizing marijuana right now. Mm-hmm. It's just that our representatives don't represent us.
And that right over there is the issue. We are the only party that is about cutting government. And the vast majority of American people want to cut government. You have these other two parties that don't really work for the people. They work for their political cronies, for corporations and lobbies and unions and all that kind of stuff. We are not their, we the voters, we're not the people that they consider to be their clients. And the only party that's really talking about voters is the Libertarian Party right now.
Absolutely. A lot of people believe that, for example, if the Republicans take the Senate, well, that'll solve all our problems.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure that spending is a problem right now. And all spending bills start in the House of Representatives, which is controlled by Republicans and has been for a few years. So the Republicans are in charge of spending right now. Having more of them isn't going to change a thing.
Exactly. And, you know, when you look at the campaign finance and you realize you have these same organizations that are donating to both the Republicans and the Democrats, you realize that they're just two puppets being controlled by the same political cronies. And that's
exactly
what we need to put an end to. Let's talk about what do you think will be some of the benefits? You know, if we legalize recreational marijuana, how is that going to benefit people who don't themselves use recreational marijuana?
Well, these people pay for prisons. I mean, I don't smoke pot myself, but I do pay for prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay
and
for law enforcement that has to trace these people down.
Exactly.
I don't want drug gangs coming in from Mexico, because if you legalize all drugs, there wouldn't be drug gangs. There also wouldn't be drug dealers.
Mm-hmm. There would be just, you know, stores like we have for everything else, whether it's, you know, alcohol or fruit or whatever. And, you know, the other really nice thing is we really actually create a disincentive for some of this major violence. I mean,
right.
You don't need to settle things violently when you can just use normal courts or private mediation, because you're dealing with an above board business.
Right. There's no alcohol gangs, but in 1925 there was.
Exactly. Exactly. The other really nice thing about that, you know, as we talked about in the previous segment, is like the private sector is actually really good at helping people break addictions that they're unhappy with. I mean, we have, if you look at the nicotine patches and Nicorette gum, and all these different types of private sector products that have been so helpful in getting people who want to stop smoking cigarettes to be able to do that. I mean, it would be amazing if we could see the same happen for other drugs, where people can actually use innovation to get off of an addiction instead of having to drive that addiction underground and make it permanent.
Absolutely. I thought Kerry brought up a very good point with that. And the free market always works a lot better than coercion and force.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in every case. There's only very few roles that the government should be involved in anyway. I mean, the best yacht said is to protect your life, liberty, and property. And that's it. Anything they do above that, they do badly.
Yeah, I think that is, you know, extremely, extremely well said. You know, would you, is that something that you would specifically sponsor legislation to do? I want to make sure that is 100% clear to the listeners.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely would. Now, it would be a race to do it because there are a lot of us that would do that, but I would absolutely sponsor it, support it, campaign for it, anything that I could do to help that happen, because there are too many people that are in jail right now for something, things they shouldn't be in jail for. I don't know if you've heard this story. There's a 19-year-old guy in the Austin area, in Round Rock, right outside of Austin, Texas, that is facing between 10 years and life in prison for making marijuana brownies.
Wow.
Now people look at it and go, well, he's probably not going to get a life, but what if he gets 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, that's
a big deal.
That's destroying somebody's life for no reason. That's
absolutely
pulling hundreds of thousands out of, you know, the tax base. We can stop doing that. We have so much of our own money back to spend on something positive instead of
right
on something so destructive. You know, guys, we're currently talking with Joel Gardner, candidate for Texas State Representative in District 6. You can follow his campaign at facebook.com/Joel Gardner for Texas. His last name is spelled G-A-R-D-N-E-R. You can also go to lp.org/states and find other campaigns in your state. Join them, get involved, see if you can work with candidates and other volunteers in your state to help downsize big government. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Wealth Generators empowers your personal freedom with a simple, repeatable program for success. Our stock market experts bring extensive experience and deliver it directly to our members so they can invest for themselves. Now, for a limited time, the Financial You listeners can try the Wealth Generators program risk-free for 30 days for only $1. That's right, just $1. You will have access to our 3 weekly trade strategies for a full 30 days. After the trial ends, our products are covered by our triple your money back guarantee. If you trade our strategies for 6 months and lose money, we will pay you 3 times your subscription fee back. That's how confident we are in the Wealth Generators program. In addition, you can earn by referring others to the program. If you tell a friend and they join, you get paid. Not once, but each and every month they remain active. Trade like the experts, build residual income, and take the first step in generating wealth. Enroll now at WGOffer.com.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We're talking with Joel Gardner, candidate for state representative in District 6. You can follow his campaign at facebook.com/JoelGardnerForTexas. Joel, let's talk a little bit about safety. Let's talk about the right to defend yourself. Well, let's talk about gun control laws. Where do you stand right now on gun control?
I'm actually the coordinator for Open Carry Texas in my county.
Okay.
And Open Carry Texas and Come and Take It Texas are the two main groups in Texas that are actually support what the Constitution of Texas says, what the Constitution of the United States says. I'm not going to get into the weeds about who has the upper hand there, but they both say pretty much the same thing. I think Alaska has it right. They have no gun laws.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the only state in the union that does. The funny thing about Texas, and you wouldn't think this being from outside of the state, Texas is one of only five states in the United States that does not allow open carry.
Really? That's unexpected.
I know. There's only five states in New Jersey you can open carry. In Texas, you cannot. There's something seriously wrong with that. And people think that the Republicans support gun rights, but our House, our Senate, and our governor's mansion have been controlled by Republicans for 20 years now. And we still have, we're still one of only five states that doesn't allow open carry. Now, there are some groups that claim to be gun rights groups like the NRA, and there's a couple of statewide groups like that, too, that just want open carry and not constitutional carry.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't support that at all. I'm not a CHL holder. I will never get one. I will not ask permission from the state to bear arms. It is legal in Texas to carry a black powder pistol or an antique or a replica of an antique black powder pistol, which I do carry with me when I go shopping in the grocery store, all different places I go. And people are not afraid of it. It's not that people are afraid of guns, which is the big argument.
Mm-hmm.
But you're starting to see a lot of momentum behind the open carry thing, which is really the constitutional thing in my area. Because we're Open Carry Texas and Come and Take It Texas are both very clear that we're not just talking about open carry. We're talking about getting rid of gun laws.
I mean, when people think about just the amazing benefit, I mean, there are so many benefits to be had. I mean, the obviously the one that we think about is, if people have the right to defend themselves, get rid of some of these like gun-free school zones, you don't have massacres like what happened at Newtown. Like that's
right,
not
exactly
caused by guns. That's caused by those gun-free school zone laws. I mean, that's what caused that.
Absolutely. That's why all of the massacres that you see are in gun-free zones, because they know they're not going to run into any opposition. Jack in the Box was one of the first groups in Texas to announce that they weren't going to allow people to carry guns in there, and they've been robbed 15 times that I know of since then, and it hasn't been that long, because they just told everybody, hey, we're going to be unarmed. Anybody wants to come in here and take anything?
When I was in school,
I went to school in the 80s in Chapel Hill outside of Tyler, which is a small school. But people brought guns to school all the time. They had them in the back of their trucks. Some people had them on them. Everybody had knives on them. People fought all the time. Nobody got shot. Nobody got stabbed.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's really the key thing that people need to understand, that holding a gun, owning a gun, is a thing that most people who actually do own a gun take with a lot of seriousness. It is a responsibility that you have to take seriously. And, me walking around knowing that other people are armed, that makes me feel safer than me walking around thinking that the only person who could be armed is a criminal that means to do me harm.
Exactly. The majority of people are good people. And the one bad person is not going to be able to attack a lot of armed people. It's just not going to happen. It never does. That's why you don't see any incidents at the open carry walks.
Exactly. And that right there is what we're talking about. We're talking about, it is the right to carry a weapon, but it's the right to defend yourself. It's the right to defend your neighbors. It's the right to walk around feeling safe and secure and not have to worry that one person with a gun can overpower 100 people without one.
Right, and that's not a right given to us by the government. The government can't give you any rights. That is an inherent right, an inalienable right that you're born with, that you get through God or whoever you believe your creator is.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's just recognized by the Constitution.
Exactly. And that's such an important distinction to make. This is a natural right that is recognized by the Constitution. Now, one of the interesting things that I've seen you talk about is the idea of allowing the citizens of Texas to vote on Texan independence. Now, what is the impetus behind that? What does that consist of?
Well, if you really look at it, the way the United States was formed, the United States was not ever intended to be a country. It was a union. That's why you always heard Abraham Lincoln refer to it as preserving the union, much like the European Union is. The word state means country. It doesn't mean a part of a country or like a county. It means country.
Mm-hmm.
The United States was 13 independent states or countries that had a common army, and you know, there's not a lot in the Constitution for a reason. The Union government wasn't ever supposed to have very much power.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the idea of a United States citizen didn't come into being until the 14th Amendment. Before that, nobody was a United States citizen. It didn't exist. You were a citizen of Virginia or Kentucky or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Over the time, people have been indoctrinated into believing that, and a lot of what they're taught in school, and a lot of it's what they see on TV, they're indoctrinated into believing that it's all under the control of the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the United States Constitution, Article 6, which is evidently the one where Mark Levine stopped reading, was the one before that. So if you look at Article 6 of the Constitution, it says that all state laws, even just the laws, not the Constitution, all state laws outrank the United States Constitution.
Absolutely. And see, that is such that idea. Now imagine that we had, 50 states competing with each other to attract businesses. We had to create better regulations, to have different laws. Not only would you have a better equality, but you would actually have more choice. You know, maybe there might be some kind of small township somewhere, as we already have now in Amish communities, that had really, really strict laws, and you could go and live there if you wanted to. And other places that had really open laws, and you could live there if you wanted to. I mean, the option of choice is always good, and it's always beneficial.
Right, and the difference between actual secession and just reading the Constitution and following that is really not a whole lot different, but the only difference is the reason I support actual secession is because of the fact that I think it's more viable.
Mm-hmm.
You only really have to get you don't have to get 49 other states to agree with you.
Exactly, and you can really make that like much more straightforward, and there's really no question about it. Joel, I really want to thank you so much for being on the show. I mean, it was such an exciting set, and I'm so excited to see that we have folks like you and Carrie in Texas that are really going to make a difference, that are really putting pressure on the status quo and forcing change to happen. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
We were just talking to Joel Gardner, candidate for Texas State Representative in District 6. You can follow his campaign right now at Facebook.com/Joel Gardner for Texas. And his last name is spelled G-A-R-D-N-E-R. That's G-A-R-D-N-E-R. You can join campaigns in your state by going to lp.org/states. Remember, Joel and Carrie, they can't do this alone. They need your help to cut government. So go to lp.org/states and let's see how much government we can cut. Help us downsize big government and improve civil liberties. You are listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, signing off until next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.